You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
Oh man, why does it seem like he's getting away with so much? Why can I see him move in addiction and family problems and marriages and unbelief and all this stuff? And he said, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you that whenever you're aware of what the enemy's doing, it's because I've given you victory in that area. Whenever you're aware that the enemy's getting away with something, it is God saying, I need you to step in and do something about this.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your presence that's in this place. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to even be able to declare how great you are. Father, as we transition and have your Holy Spirit start to speak to us through Bear, Father, would you allow the Holy Spirit to be able to speak the words that come out of his mouth and allow us as the recipients to be able to receive what you have for us tonight. Father, as we get ready to head into this next portion of our service, would you continue to, Holy Spirit, would you continue to move, continue to breathe, and just have your way in this place. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You guys can be seated tonight.
The word transition, I want to live in this place where the awareness of the Holy Spirit is constant, no matter what life is or what life brings. You know, the whole don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind is a literal invitation, and I use that word a lot, but that invitation of the presence of God to just keep pulling us in no matter what's happening. And I believe that, well, I don't want to get into that just yet. So I asked him when I was first asked to teach on a Sunday night, I just started seeking after his heart and just saying, you know, like all of us do, and just say, what would you have to say? What do you want to do? And I said, if you were to stand in the midst of your people at Parkway, what would you talk about? And he said, I just really need you to know that it is finished. I really need you to know. I need you to understand that it is finished. And that got me on this thought process with him, and I just said, what is it? It is finished. And before we hop into there, I want to tell you this. I'll try to make it short. I'm not a short storyteller, so I'm going to limit everything. So you're going to get little excerpts. A couple of years ago during Christmas, or maybe it was last year during Christmas, I said, you guys may have heard this story, actually. I just said, okay, Jesus, I know it's not your birthday. I know December 25th is not really when you were born. I know that. But let's just say it is your birthday. What's that?
I said I'm
not. Oh, sorry. I'm not talking about Santa Claus. And I just said, if it was your birthday, what can I give you on your birthday? What can I give you? And I got no answer all that day, the next day. The next day, I woke up in the morning with his voice, not audibly, but with his voice in my head saying, courage. Courage is what I'm asking for. I'm like, oh man, what does courage mean to you? Because right away, you get this feeling of, you're going to ask me to do something that's going to require courage, and I don't know how comfortable I am with that. And he's all about having us rely on him, but he's also all about him getting the most glory that he can through our lives to show people who he actually is through us. And so through that, he started talking to me about courage, and part of the same time frame was I was telling him, I'm super happy with you and I. I love the relationship we have. I love that I can go on top of a mountain and just spend time with you and listen to you. I just love it. I love it. And he said, Bear, now is the time. And I knew exactly what he was talking about, and I didn't like it. I just want to thank you guys really for opening your hearts and your arms to my wife and I, Ricky, a couple of weeks ago that spoke. We went through a really, really dark season, a really tough season. And through that season, I just stepped back into who I know he's called me to be. And part of that is what I'm doing now. Part of that is sharing with you guys what he's downloaded in me, just little excerpts, to bring all of us to this place of unity. And he just told me yesterday, you know, in Ephesians how it talks about the gifts that Jesus has given to the church, apostles, prophets, teachers, those are gifts, pastors, evangelists, those are gifts given to the church. And he just said, what are those gifts for? And I said, well, your word says to bring us all to unity. He said, what I'm telling you is unity will never happen in the church if the gifts don't come out and walk out who they're supposed to be. It won't happen. The tradition that we have gotten used to keeps us at a place. I'm not saying the place is bad, but what he's asking for is more. And for the more to happen, for the unity to happen, all of us come together into this oneness of who he is, requires us walking out who we actually are. That's what it requires. But it also requires us to hold each other into this place of accountability. And I don't mean accountability groups like, hey, how long has it been since you smoked a cigarette? I'm not talking about that, and I'm not saying that's bad. But the accountability is you know who you're called to be, and if you don't, then I'm going to give you a word, and you're going to know who you're called to be. That's what we're supposed to do for one another, and then call each other into these greater works. But to know that it is finished, I think, is the foundational, the most important thing. So as we go through this, we're going to find out, we're going to dig through, what did he actually accomplish, and what does that mean for us? Right before we get there, though, here's what I want to do. And this may be super uncomfortable, but it's not uncomfortable to you. It's uncomfortable to the things that keep you captive. Okay? So I want you to grab onto that. And I know church settings, we're really good on bowing our heads and closing our eyes and giving ourselves this personal time. But I really feel like he's asking for courage, and I'm just inviting you guys into my journey with him. And I'm saying, if we're family, he's asking for courage from all of us. Here's what courage looks like tonight. I believe there's going to be manifestations of things that don't belong. I believe there's going to be things that come up in our minds and our hearts and our emotions. And what that is the Holy Spirit convicting us of things that shouldn't be. And as they come up, I'm going to ask, Holy Spirit, that you deal with them in all of us. So there's a little list of things, which should be that second slide. Let's take a look at these. Here's the things that I believe that keeps us from walking out what he's already accomplished. Offense, jealousy, anger, unbelief, fear. I know you guys can read, so I probably don't have to read these to you. What about me? In other words, hey, why is that person getting what I've prayed for years and years and years and I'm not getting it? That's actually an invitation. Sowing discord, gossip, slander, self-pity, mockery, competition, apathy, experience versus truth. In other words, that can't be true anymore because I've not experienced it. So if any of these come up in you tonight, that's the Holy Spirit saying this needs to be addressed. And what that is an invitation for that to not be a part of your life anymore. That's what that is. I've seen some crazy things in my life, and I'll tell you a couple short stories about those crazy things. But this is just a small list that I believe there's a bigger list. But this is what he told me to look out for. 6 months ago, Ricky and I were praying, and we were just going, Father, anything that's keeping me from being who you've called me to be, I want exposed. I want out. And he knew the seriousness of my heart. I just said, I need it gone. And he said, okay. What I didn't know is he would use people that around us and use situation around us to expose things that doesn't belong. I wanted a miraculous, I want that stuff gone without thinking about it. I wanted a miraculous, I want pride out of here, but could you not tell me that I have pride? That's what I was looking for. But no, it doesn't happen that way. And if you ever want to know what you look like on the outside, ask the person that's closest to you. Hey, do I look like Jesus to you? There's going to be a reality that comes, and it's up to us what we do with that reality. The invitation to look like Jesus is why he died. To walk in him, for him to walk in us, and for us to look exactly like who he is, that's what he paid for. That's what he died for. So I'm telling you, if anything comes up, I was going to ask for a hand raise when it comes up, but I better not do that. But I do really, truly want it to be what he wants to do. I believe wholeheartedly, this is not a part of your character. You're made in the image of God. I fully know that. That's true, right? This shouldn't be a part of our lives. We've excused it away long enough. And I fully believe that all of us get to walk out of here free of those things because that's his will. And Jesus himself said, hey, from now on, pray anything according to my will and it will be given to you. Feel that? That was unbelief that just exposed itself. I don't know in who, but unbelief just came in the room. What I would invite you to do is take that unbelief and say, you know what? You said to take every thought captive. You said to take it to the obedience of Christ, which means Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for unbelief. So whoever believes that that's impossible to look like him, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You have an opportunity to give that away right now. Right now. So there's going to be a few times throughout the night that that's going to happen. You're going to feel something try to come up. What that is an exposing. That's an exposing that God's saying, that's not a part of you. I don't know your name, but I can see him all over you. That's a part of you that he's paid for that you don't have to agree with anymore. When a thought comes into our minds that doesn't look like him, we get to get rid of it. We cannot take possession over it. It's not us. Got it? So implant those in your mind. You guys okay? What I'm asking for is courage because courage is going to lead to freedom. Right? All right, can we skip on over to the next one? So I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 7 years old. My dad was a pastor in Rogue River. I remember super, super specific that, what are they called when they put the clear sheet of paper that's written on and it shows up on the wall? Transparency. There was another name that he called, a projector of some sort. Anyway, so I was running the words. My mom was leading worship, my dad was the pastor, and I was putting the words on there. And there's this song that came, and I don't even remember the song, but I just hear this whisper in my head, can I have you? Can I have you? And I said, yeah, you can have me. 7 years old, I lift up my arms and oh my goodness, it was just amazing. On the way home, I was in my dad's Ford Courier pickup and I was just bent down and I was praying and I was praying and I was praying and started speaking a language that I had no idea what it was. It just started coming out of me and started coming out of me. And you're going to understand why I am where I am. I started lifting up off of the chair. I mean, off of the bench, the Ford Courier, as we're driving home. I start lifting off and my back starts hitting the top of the pickup cab. So I'm literally stuck on the top of the pickup cab and this language comes out and it's just fire. And I start getting louder and louder and louder. And my dad said, okay, that's enough. And he grabbed me and he pulled me down. I had no idea what happened, no idea what that was all about. I'm just going, oh, wow. And my dad said, okay, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit, but he seemed kind of irritated. And I didn't think about it, didn't figure it out, but just spoke in tongues from then. And then I remember, I can't remember exactly when it was after that, but I remember driving into town, and I had this clear picture of my uncle working on his pickup. And I said, oh, hey, Uncle Butch is working on his pickup, and this is what he's doing, and that and that. And my dad goes, that's impossible. You can't see that. And I went, well, I can see it right there. He has this tool in his hand, whatever, whatever. And he goes, you can't see that. And then right away, that vision shut down. It just stopped. And I realized later that what I did was I accepted somebody else's reality and jealousy for my reality, and it shut me off from hearing. And we might say, gosh, you were 7 or 10 years old at that time. That's not fair. The devil doesn't fight fair. We have to understand that. He doesn't play by the same rules that we were raised with. He will steal anything that he can to get us to unbelieve what we're supposed to believe. It doesn't matter what age we are. We see these kids worshiping. We see these kids in here. You guys don't have any less of the Holy Spirit than Jesus had. And according to Romans 8:11, if we have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, then that spirit will bring life to our mortal bodies. That's a reality that we have to understand and we have to walk in. So, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, I know you guys can read. But I put that bold in that because it's not who was lost. It is that which was lost. What was lost at that time? Not a rhetorical question. What was lost? What did Adam and Eve give away that God gave them? Intimate connection with God. What else? What else was lost? Eternal life. What else? Oh man, a world without sin. How about dominion? How about authority? How about co-creating? Adam and Eve gave all of that away. And the way they gave that away was the enemy, as we know that story. Does everybody know that? Anybody not know the story of Adam and Eve in Genesis? Because we can go over it super, super quick. I can tell quick stories. Just kidding. Okay, what the serpent did is invited the devil. And the devil said, hey, did God say you're not going to eat from any tree? And Eve said, no, just not that tree, because on the day we eat it, we're going to die. What the devil did was get her to think from a worldly perspective instead of a godly perspective. He said, you're not going to die. God was not talking about that death. He was not talking about physical death. He was talking about a spiritual death, that there's a separation. We have to understand that Jesus died to pay for that. So any separation we feel from God is based in a lie, because Jesus paid for it. Full and clear, nothing left for us to do. You got it? Okay, what's happening in the room? There's more than listening. Okay, so distance from God. And I won't go over all these verses. You guys can write them down. I do have them all written down. But they're just proofs of what's written on there is actually true. So distance from God. That was lost. Jesus paid for. The effects of sin. All right, here it is. Did Jesus pay for the effects of sin? Anybody have a problem with that? And I want you to be courageous. If you have a problem with that, we want to know about it. I mean, we as in your family, so we can go, hey, wait a second. If you don't believe sin's forgiven completely, then we won't believe that the effects of sin is forgiven completely. Why did Jesus walk around healing all that were sick and oppressed by the devil? Because it was an effectiveness of sin. Sickness and disease, the reason that he went after it and everybody he sent to go after it was because it was effects of sin. He brought the kingdom into the world and said, I want you to do the same thing. We'll get into that. So, the works of the enemy. Who has authority on the earth? Sons and daughters, Christians, we do. Who doesn't have authority on the earth? Huh, the devil. So 1 John 3:8. Somebody look that up and read that to me real quick. Read it to us. Who has their Bible? I told you you're going to participate. This is not just you sitting there listening. Let me know when you have it. What's that? Bring it.
1 John 3:8.
The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. Did Jesus accomplish what he set out to do? Is the works of the devil destroyed? Why do we still see him working? What's that? Dang it, we allow him. We believe a lie. I want you to grab a hold of this. Remember the list that we showed before this? Can you pop that up real quick, Sky? If anything's popping up in your head, we need it gone. I was riding my bike one day, and oh man, out of the clear blue sky, wasn't even thinking about this or talking about this, God said, why are you living like the devil is omnipresent and I'm not? It scared me to death. I'm like, the first thing I wanted to do was argue with the one that I call Lord. That works super good. And I finally came to the conclusion that, okay, he was right. I don't know. And then I just started, why does it seem like the devil is all over the place and he gets blamed for everything and that seems to be what everybody's talking about. And if you become a Christian, then you're going to be put on this highway to destruction because the devil's going to be after you. But at the end, you get to see God. That's never what Jesus taught. And so I just said, oh man, why does it seem like he's getting away with so much? Why can I see him move in addiction and family problems and marriages and unbelief and all this stuff? And he said, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you that whenever you're aware of what the enemy's doing, it's because I've given you victory in that area. Whenever you're aware that the enemy's getting away with something, it is God saying, I need you to step in and do something about this. Does that make sense? You have authority anywhere where you see the enemy moving. Anywhere where you see the enemy moving. I don't know why he keeps wanting me to say that, but that needs to be a reality. He came to conquer the works of the enemy, which means they're done. We are his victory. We are more than conquerors. So, the fulfillment of the law. Why was the law put there to begin with Moses? Make people aware of their sin. Somebody said something over here. It was to show us we need a savior, right? You guys can't uphold the law, and I'm showing you can't uphold the law because the fulfillment of the law is coming. The fulfillment of the law is coming. He's come. He didn't come to abolish it. He came to fulfill it. He's the fulfillment. It was talking about him. Sin and death have been conquered. Oh, man, those are great verses, and I so much want to read them to you, but write them down, look them up, test these words. Test what's actually happening here. And I know we don't have a ton of time. Can we go to the next one? So where does that leave us? If he accomplished everything that past list said, where does that leave us? What are we to do? And I want to give you a big question that I really want you to think about. Why did God come up with prayer? It was his idea. There's a connection, relationship. What about authority? What does prayer do? Earth becomes to look like heaven. So, everybody know the verse that says, the heavens, ye the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. We have authority in the earth. If we don't believe that, we're never going to see the kingdom happen around us like we're supposed to. When Jesus sent out the 70, he said, you go into all the cities and towns that I'm going to go to, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, preach the gospel, freely receive, so freely give away. And if they don't accept you, I'm skipping a little bit of parts there, but if they don't accept you, shake the very dust off of your feet. And I tell you that it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon, Sodom, than it will be for that city on that day, because if they don't believe you, they don't believe me. I'm sending you out to do the very things that I've called you to do. He said, as my Father has sent me, now I send you. The things that I have done, you're going to do, and greater than those. Do you see what he's asking for us, asking from us as a people? If his body did something particular when he was on earth, he's expecting his body to still do it. You guys, everybody doing okay? I shouldn't have put this up there because all of your eyes are going, all right, what's next? What's going on? Okay, are we justified? What does justified mean? Just if it never happened. Do you guys really believe that? It took me a while, especially screwing up like Ricky said 2 weeks ago. I was married before. Yes, I have an excuse, and I have a biblical excuse and all that stuff. Geez, the torment and the selfishness that I gave into was devastating. It was devastating because I drew a line and said, at this point, I'm going to live for me because she didn't even care or whatever, whatever, whatever. At this point, I'm going to say, I need to be taken care of instead of me showing what love looks like. It took me so long to get back to this place where you've asked me to represent you, and the only way I can do that is to be full of you. Full of you. You're not a genie in a bottle. You're not a, hey, if I follow you, then you'll make my life great. He said, if you follow me, you're going to be like me. Hey, by the way, expect persecution. Because the world hates me, and it's going to hate you. But I tell you, fear not, for I've overcome the world. I'm telling you right now, you guys, we're not living like he overcame the world. We're living like we belong in the world, and we're asking him to bless us through our steps in the world. That needs to end. That needs to stop. We need to walk in the power and authority that he's given us to do. We need to take his word seriously. We need to make sure that there's a first grants pass in the word. We need to make sure it's not just 1 Corinthians and Colossians, and we need to make sure that the word written on our hearts and our minds, we need to make sure that we're living epistles that people can read about in the future and say, God did it for them. He's going to do it for us. I'm not saying the word's not important, because it absolutely is, but we are supposed to be written words too. It's not supposed to end here. Acts 28 wasn't the end. It was the beginning. Jesus' crucifixion was not the end. It was the beginning. There's this reality that we're already glorified. There's this reality that we're already sanctified. We're righteous. We're not working for righteousness' sake. We're working from righteousness' sake. There's this reality that our bodies, soul, and spirit are all part of the gospel. The word sozo. Does that sound familiar? We see it in the Bible as salvation. It's the word sozo. It's used over 100 times in the New Testament. You guys, you're a healed body, soul, and spirit. Is it easier for me to say that your sins are forgiven or take up your mat and follow me? Something's happening with somebody's neck right now. at the base of the neck? Who has pain in the base of their neck? Is that you? Can you guys just put your hand on her? Teach her a lesson. Jesus commanded us to heal the sick. It wasn't a suggestion, it was part of the commandments. It was part of his commandments. He said, go heal the sick. He said, when you heal somebody, declare over them that the kingdom of God has come upon you. What we're not doing is asking God for permission. That's not prayer. He said, you heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. So base of your neck, we just tell pain to leave right now in the name of Jesus. And whoever's calling you, they get to get healed too. They get a big fat dose of God. It's not difficult. It just takes us not conforming to the pattern of the world. It's not hard. He's taken care of it. Healing is his idea. How's your neck? How's your neck now? 80% better? 70% better? I don't like 50. Let's go after this again. And I really want you guys to grab onto faith. Remember, who's the author and perfecter of our faith? You guys say that like I'm pulling it out of you. If he's the author and perfecter of our faith, it's his faith that we're using. It's not ours. Right? We've become one with him. It's his faith that he's relying on us to let him have back. That's what it is. So neck, somebody put their hand on her again, will you? Neck, you release right now in the name of Jesus. You have no place. And Father, I just speak such an authority over this couple. Father, I just speak such a place that they get to give reason for their hope, that I thank you that they're a light in this community, but they're a light in heaven too. And I just thank you that right now, authority gets to be a reality in their lives. It's just not a being a part of the body. God, I just thank you that there's a reality of who they are. I just see authority, so much authority put on you guys, authority with grace and mercy, authority with abundance, that people are going to walk into your house and go, I feel something different. What is going on? That people are going to just even step in your car and people that you give rides to, they're going to feel God's presence because of the time spent, because you love well, you show what love looks like. But Father, I just thank you that I see a gold mining happening. I don't know what it's called, but there's a pan that I see him just sifting and sifting and sifting and pulling out the nuggets in you guys and getting rid of everything that doesn't belong. And you're going to wake up and you're going to find yourself so free of things that you've been dealing with. And I heard the number 23, and I don't know what that means, but things that you've been dealing with for 23 years that you're going to wake up and you're going to go, that's not even there anymore. I don't even feel that way. And I just declare such a freedom over these guys, such a freedom that their smile just can't be stopped. You're going to live out that the joy of the Lord is your strength for real. That's a reality to you. It's not trying, it's striving. It's just a fruit of the Spirit that grows like the apple tree that Jay was talking about this morning. That there's this reality of joy. Don't accept anything less. In Jesus' name. Are we victorious? Huh? More than conquerors. Do we believe that? There's a couple of yeses, but you feel that in the room? Does God lead you forth in victory in all things? That's written in the Word. And either we're going to believe His Word, either it's time for that or it's not. Right? Either you're for me or you're against me. That's what He said. It's time to take Jesus seriously, not in what he said, but what he keeps saying. He's not gone. Are we equipped? Unto every good work, I believe, is what it says. Unto every good work. Do you see that there's nothing impossible for real? And I'm talking about for real. When he's talking about the rich man getting to heaven and the disciples are going, what in the world are you talking about? How can a camel come through the eye of the needle? That just doesn't make any sense. How is this possible? And Jesus said, with man, it's not possible. And really what I think he snuck in there that nobody wrote about is, but when, since when have I talked to you about possible things? He said, but with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. That came out of Jesus' mouth. And I believe what he's doing to us and through us and in us is going, everything that you thought was impossible, I need you to give me. I need you to give me. I need you to give me pride. I need you to give me insecurity. I need you to give me all things that prevented you from thinking that anything I've held back from you. I've spent a whole life of praying for people, and I could just bore the snot out of you with stories of eyes being opened and ears being opened and wheelchairs not being needed anymore, because I've seen it and I've written it all down. I've seen what he promised, but there's not 100% of the time. And you know why he never taught about what to do when somebody's not healed? Because we're not supposed to experience it. I believe that with all of my heart. I've had people die in my arms, you guys. I've had really rough things happen. But I choose to believe what he said over what my experiences has shown me. I choose to believe his truth over what we've limited him by. And we think that he's holding back from us, that it just must not be his timing. But I'm telling you, since I was 7 years old, I've been reading this, and I cannot find that in here. I can't find where he said, hey, my dad's just teaching you a lesson, so you're just going to have to deal with it for a little bit longer. That's not in here. And believe me, I've heard people come up to me again and again and again. Well, what about Paul's thorn in his flesh? What about Paul carried so much revelation that Satan sent a minister to him in order to fight against him, to keep him from being who God's called him to be? And what about this thought process that God said, hey, my grace is sufficient for you? What if God didn't say, you're just going to have to deal with it, but I've already given you everything you need to conquer that enemy, so stand up and do it. I believe that's what he's calling us to do. I believe he's asking us to be his army, and all we have to do is believe that it is finished. He didn't say it's begun. He didn't say, I'm inviting you into this place where you get to hate the world for a little while and hope that you get to heaven someday. That's not what he said. He said, I created this place to be good, and I created this place to be very good, and I'm expecting you to bring the very good. I'm expecting you to bring heaven. So I want to switch it just a little bit. What does that mean for his sake? We can talk about us all day long and what that means and how it left it, and I really do want you to go over these verses. I really do want you to just dig through those and go, wow, you really did say that. But what does that mean for him? On the wedding day, is the bride the only one excited about the wedding? What do you think the groom's doing? He's so excited for us to just believe. Pastor Jay talked about Hebrews 11 a lot today. Just this chapter of faith of, wow, and these guys just believed. These guys just believed. What are we believing today? Are we believing it is finished? Are we believing that it's done? Are we believing that we've been equipped for all things? In fact, we've been given all things according to life and godliness. I'm saying it's time for us to actually step out. I'm saying it's time for us to actually look like him, because we're in him. We've been conformed into his image. We have it better than Adam and Eve ever did. See, God had a plan. He had a plan to go, you know what? I walked with them in the cool of the evening in the garden, but I get to live in you, and you get to live in me. Do you understand he's excited about us actually getting it? He's excited that we get to be washed with the water of the word and to be presented purified for him. He's excited to have a bride that's in the same proportion as the groom. He's excited to have a body that moves and walks and talks like he did when he was on the earth. He's excited for us to actually believe and to do what he said is already done. I am not saying life's going to be easy. I'm not saying we're not going to be aware of what the enemy's trying to do, but I want to bold print that trying. There's angels and there's demons in this room right now. We have a choice of which one we're going to give authority to. We have a choice of which one, which kingdom we're going to spread. We have a choice. And you guys can go home and go, that guy is wacko. And that's fine. But what I'm telling you is, that's what he said. That's what he said. And I want to live a life that is the joy set before him. I want to be the fulfillment of what he paid for on the cross. That's what I want to be. I was reading this book by John G. Lake. This is my last story. I was reading this book by John G. Lake, and he just goes after it. I mean, just, I'm putting it down going, oh, man, if anybody heard that nowadays, oh, man. And then I just had to go, okay, is this true or is this not true? And I was just digging in the Word as he's talking or as he's writing, and I was on a work trip in Chicago, and I'm on the phone with Ricky. And I was reading through this chapter that says, the enemy's defeated, and why are you treating him like he's not, really? And it's easy for us to say right now, but I felt fear come into the room. I felt fear, right? You've not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Somebody we love just talked about that. And then I'm laying on the bed, and I'm reading the book, and I'm reading the book to Ricky, and I look up, and a demon walks right in the room. And I look at it, and I stop talking, and Ricky's like, what's going on? I said, there's a demon that just walked in the room. And you could kind of see it like heat waves almost. And I look up and I go, okay. So I keep reading. And I'm reading about how the enemy really is defeated. And it's up to us to not give him authority anymore. And so as I'm reading, this thing gets closer to me and you can just feel it. And it just gets closer to me. And I'm still reading and I pause again. And I go, huh. And I look up. And I go, all right. So I keep reading. And then this thing gets super, super mad and gets right in my face. And you can feel the breath. And I'm not giving it entertainment. That's not what I'm here to share with you. What I'm here to share with you is I kept reading and kept reading and said, Father, this thing has nothing. It has nothing. It has nothing to do with me. It's not going to gain access. And it got super agitated and it just left. When a thought comes in your mind that doesn't belong to you and it doesn't look like Jesus, that's something asking for authority, which is why we brought the second slide up to begin with. It's up to us whether to give it authority or not. Stop taking responsibility is not the right word. Ownership, thank you. Stop taking ownership. If you feel jealousy come up, understand that that's something asking for access. If you feel unbelief come up, understand that that's not you. It's something asking for access. It's up to us to take that every thought captive for real and go, you have no access because I'm full. There's no room for anything else. How's your neck? Yeah? Who else has a neck problem in the left shoulder, between the shoulder and the neck, like a top rotator cuff structure stuff? Can you go give her what you just got? Freely you've received, so freely give away. It's just a reality to the kingdom, and it's about time for us to get our minds on things above, our eyes on things above and not below, because we have territory to take. There's a gospel written down about Grants Pass. And in 2 Grants Pass 2:3, it's going to say, and Parkway caused havoc in the kingdom of hell, and it had no attachment in the city of Grants Pass anymore. And Parkway stepped out and started becoming who they're called to be, and nothing could hold them back because they believed. And the people of Parkway actually walked out their identity and looked at the enemy and said, hey, go away. I'm not going to wait to heaven to say, you're the one that caused all that problems. I'm going to do it now and say, you have no place anymore. It's just not only possible, but it's God's will. And if he said pray anything according to my will and will be given to you. I'm pretty sure he wasn't kidding. In fact, he said that 4 times in 3 chapters in John. 4 times in 3 chapters in John. If he's repeating something that often, he's going, hey guys, you really need to pay attention to this. Everybody doing okay? There's something that I can't. Holy Spirit, I just thank you. We spend so much time asking for your presence and so little time realizing that you're actually here. I just thank you that you're moving in this room right now. And you're setting those who the Son has set free is actually free. We're free indeed. And I just declare freedom in this room. Father, I just declare freedom of thinking, freedom of mobility, freedom of the past, freedom of the future. I just thank you that you have such a love for us that it just doesn't know bounds. It just doesn't know how to stop. And I, for one, as part of this family, invite you to be the head of this family. And anything that doesn't belong, just like Ricky and I prayed months ago, I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter because I know the end result is you and more of you. So I just declare over us the reality of how much of you we actually carry. I repent for asking for more. Because you've already given us everything that there is. I repent for saying I'm not happy with who I am or what I have or whatever. That's the enemy's territory that you've called us to take. I thank you that you've called us into the lands of giants. Because what the world sees is huge, you don't see is huge. We're to overtake. We're more than conquerors. So I just want to step into that, and I just thank you that you get glory by us believing you. That doesn't make sense to me, but it's true. You get glory. In fact, you said you're going to reveal all things that the Holy Spirit gave you, or through the Holy Spirit, that all things the Father gave you. You said that we've not been given the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God that searches all things, even the depths of God. So I just feel you going after this lesson that we've taught that sometimes we just can't know what you're up to. You said, don't be foolish, but know the will of God. So I just get rid of that theology, that thought process right now. We're open to you. We're your bride. We're your body. God, I just thank you that you said resist the devil and he will flee. That is not a passive resistance. That is a going after. You've equipped us unto every good work. You've given us all the tools we need. Now, lead us into victory. Father, I just declare marriages that have had a problem now, and I'm just going to be super blunt, you guys. I just declare over marriages that have had problems that selfishness in the center of that marriage goes away. Marriages, relationships, the only issue there is we can't get our eyes off of ourselves. I thank you that you did not give us a gospel of self-help. You gave us a gospel of the kingdom. We give you all power. We give you all authority, which is super funny because you just give it right back to us. Have your way. Have your way in this room. Have your way in this room and don't stop here. Those doors don't mean anything to you. You're not confined into this place. You tore the temple veil to be in us. So we just bless you. We just bless you. keep hearing E Street, E Street. I keep seeing the letter E and the street sign. Does that mean anything to anybody? E Street. What is that? Hey, no whispering. I'm just teasing. E Street. Does that mean anything? Don't try. If it doesn't mean anything, it doesn't mean anything. Maybe for something later. He gives me super random things sometimes, and I'm just trying to walk out a life of courage again and just go, okay, I don't care what these guys think about me. Don't get me wrong. I do care about what you think about me, but I'm not going to say no to him anymore. We have not because we ask not, and I'm just not going to say no to him anymore. On all my trips, every trip I get to go to, I see people set free. It's just cool. I saw my Uber driver give her heart to Jesus 2 weeks ago. Just because he gave me a word for her, there's just this reality that he wants heaven to happen all around us. That it's just real. And he's the one that came up with the idea, not us. He gave us the authority. He gave us the power of prayer. And he just wants us to use it. That's all he wants us to do. So, guys, thank you so much for your time. I really sorry that I took a little bit longer than was supposed to, I think. But can you just please look this up, take it seriously, and just tell him, where I've not taken you seriously or where I've not believed you, can you just show me so I can walk out the life that you've asked me to? Awesome.
He talked about that list earlier, and one of the ones that wasn't on the list but applies to me is a critical spirit. So I take no ownership in a critical spirit. You have given me the gift of discernment, and I am made to operate in it with compassion.
Come on. Come on. So a lot of us expect Christianity to be easy. Again, that's not a promise. In fact, it's exactly opposite of that. Like Pastor Jay says, hey, when you've come to the Lord, you're on a ship, but it's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. But understand, it's the battleship that's conquering somebody who's already been conquered. So we're like the lepers that are waiting to die and going, hey, we may as well die and with full bellies. Everybody know that story? And they go into the enemy's camp. I said, everybody know that story, and I didn't even give you time to answer. Sorry, that was super bad. And they go into the camp, and the enemy's already defeated, and they're gorging themselves going, oh, we should probably tell everybody else about this too. That's what he has for us. Maybe not the gorging part, but the partaking of something that he's already won. That's what he has for us. So Easy Street, let's dig into it. Let's just ask him, what are you talking about? Because I know what I saw. No, it was heard. And what's funny about that, I tried to put easy on the sign, but all I saw was E. And I'm like, easy? Okay, I'm just going to say E. Yoke upon you? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right. Learn of me. Right. Okay, so I'm going to take a step a little deeper and say there's a few people, maybe a lot of people, that have blamed God for situations in life that's not easy, and we're blaming him because we think he's in control of it. There's three people, actually, that have blamed God for something hard. And I need to make it super, super clear. The enemy steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus came to bring life and that much more abundant. So if it looks like killing, stealing, destroying, God is not behind it. That God has done such an incredible job of taking what the enemy had planned for bad and turns it to good that we blame God for doing it to begin with because he turned it out for good. That thought process has to stop. So asking for courage here. How do we get rid of that? How do we get rid of blaming God for something bad that happened that wasn't easy? We expected it to be easy, and we said, okay, if it's like that, I don't want to follow you. Or having hard feelings toward him. I know what I heard. I know what he said. I know there's three people, and I'm just asking for courage to go, you know what? Yeah, that was a sucky thing, and I still hold something against him, and I don't want to anymore because I realize that wasn't him. I don't want to pick you out, but I want you to be free. You have to understand what's behind this is freedom. What's behind this is freedom. I know what it's like to live a life in condemnation and guilt and shame and, gosh, so worried about what people think about you, and that's just such bondage. It's just such bondage. So, Father, I know what you're asking for is courage, and I know that you said that any man that's ashamed in front of man, you're going to have to be ashamed in front of angels. I just don't want that. I don't want that outcome for your body. I just ask for a life that's so courageous that we just don't care what anybody else thinks. We get to be like Peter and says, you know, decide for yourself. Do I live the life that God's asked me to do, or do I live the life that men asked me to? There's something more on Easy Street, and I'm just going to leave that between you guys and God, but there's something there that I really, really encourage you. He's not going to let go of it. He wants you free. He wants you free. So again, just thank you, bless you, have a great night.